Good to see everybody. I know there's it's one of those spring break kind of transition weekends where everybody's going out, so it's so wonderful to see everybody. Welcome. Let me pray for us as we respond to God's call to worship. Then after we pray, I'll invite you to pray together with everyone the prayer of confession on page D. And again, that is recognizing as we gather and respond to God's call that we aren't perfect and we are in need of God's grace. And so right from the beginning of the service, we like to walk into the assurance that Christ has forgiven you. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, that you have called us out of darkness into light. We thank you that you have lovingly nurtured us, just like I hear the little babies making noise. And that's okay. You love the children. You love us. And so we respond to your faithful love towards us today. We come out to you to worship you and say, thank you, God, as we learn to speak the language of faith, as we learn to live in the life that Christ has assured us. So be blessed today, Lord, and bless us as we worship you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's stand, and on page D, if you can, if you can find yourself in a spirit of repentance, let's confess together and receive Christ's absolution. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. And I, as the ordained minister, announce to you, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given you his Son to die for you, and it's for his sake he forgives all your sins. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. Hear our singing now as a response to you forgiving us, and calling us your children and inviting us into your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read. We have two passages today. First one's from Jeremiah. And we can go ahead and sit down. You can be seated. The Old Testament passage is from Jeremiah chapter 26. And I know we have folks here from for Anthony's and Walker's baptism, for Pascal's baptism. And so we're in the middle of the season of Lent, where it's a season of repentance and preparation for the coming of the resurrection of Christ. And so we're following certain readings that go along with that. And we find ourselves in Jeremiah 26. And then we'll read from Luke. But the first one, Jeremiah 26, verse 8. And if you're following along, it's on page 381 in the Bibles provided. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And when the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves a sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you've heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of this disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." That's Jeremiah the prophet. Then we'll go to Luke chapter 13, where Jesus references what's happening to the prophets who are being sent to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 13, verse 31-35. And again, if you're following along, that's 509 in your Bibles. It's an interesting passage. It's one that you don't hear read all the time. In fact, it might be, just ask yourself, is this the first time I've really ever heard this passage preached on? Because it's pretty interesting. Jesus calls somebody a fox. Not the way you think, though. So now you're interested. That's the teaser. Luke chapter 13, 31. "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him," to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So we are in this series of Lent, and I'm calling it because we have so many people with babies recently. And maybe if you're older and you have children, you remember the book, What to Expect When Expecting. So that's the name of the series, What to Expect When Expecting. Because with the birth of my first child, I remember, and I've told you the story, it was like 2:30 in the morning. Val says, "I think something's happening." I had the book, What to Expect When Expecting. I opened up the book. I said, "What? How do you know if this is real, if she's having a baby or not?" And the book literally said, "You might be reading this at 2:30 in the morning. And if you are, it's time to go to the hospital." And I was like, "It's 2:30. This book is amazing." We went. And of course, she had to walk around for hours, and we had the baby. But it's What to Expect When Expecting, because the idea of Lent is we know the baby is coming, right? We know that something great is happening in 9 months or in hours. And we know as Christians, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he's coming back, and we will defeat death. Amen, and we're excited about that. And that's what we're going to celebrate on Easter. And that's what we're going to celebrate in eternity, forever and ever. But what about right now? So what do we expect while we're waiting for all that to happen? What to expect? And you can expect your identity to be hacked. That was last week, where Jesus is in the desert, and Satan, the accuser, says, "If you're the Son of God, then do these things." And Jesus doesn't respond. He knows who he is. And he ends up doing all those things later in his ministry. He doesn't do them for Satan. But what we learn is Jesus defends you. We don't need to fight Satan and prove who we are. You'll lose every time. He's just smarter than you. He's been around a lot longer. But Jesus defends you. So you can expect for your identity as a sinner to be exposed, and you'll be accused before God and how hypocritical you are, but that's when you cry out and you say, "Jesus, defend me." And he defeats Satan. He defeats the temptation and gives it to us. Today, something else is at play. And it's the idea of our longing to get away and isolate. So one of the deals with our flesh is, and our fleshly nature, our human nature, the Bible talks about it as having evil desires, and those desires give birth to sin, which gives birth to death. Here's practically what evil desires look like for you and me. We just want to get away from people who are making our lives hard. We want to get away from God. We want to get away from work. The answer to most of our problems is, I just need to be alone. Give me some time. And what happens when you get alone is you're easy pickings. You're weaker. When you get away, those desires pull you away. You think this is going to give you peace, and it doesn't. God's answer is to bring you back into community and say, no, I want to overwhelm your flesh with a faith that brings you back into my presence where you're protected, into my body, into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so you see this. I mean, you see it at play with Jesus here. They say, Jesus, you need to get away. The Pharisees say this because they're mad at Jesus. They've struck a deal with Herod. Remember, Herod is a Roman. He doesn't love the people of God. He's just occupied this territory. And these Pharisees are like, Jesus, you are causing problems. You're stirring things up. I have a joke, but I don't know if I should say it. Jesus, you're wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Take it off. Get out of here. We're scared. I don't know. If that's not helpful, Lord, scratch it from their minds. But they're like, get away. And Jesus says, no. I know what that old fox is up to. You know, outfox somebody. Herod's outfoxing everybody. Herod is smarter than everybody. Herod knows. And Jesus is like, I know what he's up to. And I won't get away. Nothing will deter me from what I have come to do. And I'll continue to heal. I'll continue to gather the sick, the lost. I'll continue to go on my path to death. And I'll do it in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place that always kills the prophets. And this is what's interesting. Why and how did Jerusalem become the place that always kills the prophets? You know, Jerusalem means foundation of peace. This is the city. This is where the temple was located. God chose. He created this people, and he said, I'm going to put my ears in this temple, in Jerusalem. I'm going to put my eyes there so I hear you, I see you. I'm going to put my name on you. And under the rule of David and Solomon, Jerusalem is the place where heaven and earth meet. I mean, this is it. This is where God is. So how do we get to the point where Jerusalem rejects Jeremiah the prophet and wants to kill him? That's what we read earlier. They want to kill him because he says, God's not in here anymore. He's not in the house anymore. He's forsaken it. And they're like, you can't say that. Stop saying that. And Jeremiah's like, I can't stop saying that. Kill him. How do they get to that point? And before we go, yeah, how does Jerusalem get to that point? The real question is, how do we get to that point where God calls out to you and says, hey, I want to bring you in. Hey, I'm not really in that anymore. And we say, nah, shut up. Be quiet. There's parts of our lives where we don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want to hear the prophet. How do we get there? And I like to think of it like this. Have you ever had to block someone on your phone? Your faces tell the story. Of course. Why are they calling me again? Or it's usually, I mean, it's harsh when it's someone that it's close to you. But we start in small steps. And it's a salesperson, you know? Like, I made the mistake of giving my information. I got real excited about Orlando City when they first became Major League Soccer, and at least, I don't know, there's certain times when they need to make quotas or something, and people are just calling me all the time. I finally blocked him, but they got another one, and I blocked that one. They got another one. I accidentally picked up, and he's like, hey, this is George from Orlando City. I was like, no, because I'm weak. I might pay all the money to do it, and I don't want to, and it's not right for me now. I don't want to hear your invitation to go to every soccer game and have great seats for a lot of money. It'll ruin my life, actually. And so there's a point where I don't want to hear the message anymore, so I block him out. And this is what happens with God's people. This is what happens to us. God creates us. It's exciting. But then we get lured away and deceived into thinking, oh, well, there's more peace over here, and I'm going to make an agreement with how the culture does things, and that seems more powerful. And then God sends his prophet and says, hey, you know what? I know that's acceptable for where you live and everybody's doing it, but here's what I have for you. I have a different story for you, and that's we're not those kind of people. So you need to stop that. And then we say, no, I like it. I'll do whatever I want. But what we learn is Jesus always gathers. He never stops calling. He never stops sending his prophets. So even Jeremiah and countless others, to these people who have said, I don't want your message. I don't want what you have anymore, God. We have it under control here. We like who we are. We feel pretty good about it. And you keep making us feel bad. Please shut up. He won't shut up. So what do? You stop the noise. You kill the prophet. It's the only way we know how to shut him up. That's why we kill the prophets. That's why Jesus says Jerusalem, a foundation of peace, has become a place of violence against God's word, because God's people don't even want to hear it anymore. We're comfortable. You keep challenging us to do things we don't want to do. I don't want to gather on a Sunday morning. I don't want to read the stupid book. I've heard it. I'm good. Leave me alone. And he just keeps calling. See, like normal life, like Anthony for years invited me to concerts, and I went early on. But I just got old. At some point, I got old. So every time I went to a concert with Anthony, I love music, I play music, but it was always loud. And I knew when I started bringing earplugs to a cool place to watch music, and I was like, why is the band starting so late? And why is everyone disrespecting what's going on? I just discovered I don't like this. And it doesn't make sense because you think I would. And so I kept saying no to Anthony. And then one day came where I see something posted, and Anthony's out at a concert with a bunch of people. I'm like, hey, why didn't you invite me? And Anthony's like, because you say no every time. I'm like, well, still, you should invite me. And he's like, would you have gone to this one? I'm like, well, no, I had stuff with the kids. And you know how I hate this concert. Right. So like a normal situation, you stop inviting. But Jesus never stops. He never stops. He's always saying, oh, that I could gather you under my wings. I'm not going to stop. You said no. You rejected me. You walked away. And I have too, and you have too, in countless little ways. But he says, I'm going to keep calling you. I remember Stefan's here. When we were in Guatemala, it started raining. We were having lunch somewhere. I don't know if you remember this, Stefan, but there was a rooster. There's always chickens and things around in Guatemala, but there was a rooster and chickies, little chickies, and it actually gathered them all in. I'd never seen it in real life. And I was sitting there eating, and I thought of this passage. I was like, whoa, that's what it looks like. And these little chickies all came under the hen and so close to her, and she just protected them and sat there, and it rained. And it was really beautiful. And Jesus' heart is gathering all you little lost little chickies. Just come in here. I want to protect you. I'm gathering you. See, the narrative is religion separates. It always causes wars. No, that's what our flesh does. Our flesh wants to defend and fight. Jesus gathers, and he gathers you to his word, and his word simply shows up to say, hey, here's the truth. You want to be this kind of person, but you're not really acting that way. I know you think you're a person of love, but you need to forgive. And we're like, I can never forgive. Kill the prophet. And Jesus says, I will keep coming. I'll keep giving my word to you, even though you don't want to hear it. So that's why he says, I'm gathering you to my word. My word is truth. I will create faith in you through my word. Jeremiah says, repent, turn to me. I'm just trying to make your life full of life. I think we've proved that we aren't that good at it on our own. Peace is hard to come by, especially control in the future. But you have a God who says, I will guarantee protection for your kids. I'll guarantee love and life for you, even though the world looks crazy and you can't even imagine 20 years from now what America is going to look like. It's so scary, right? It's always been like that, by the way. Every culture, it's scary to think about the future. But Jesus has always said, I will protect you. Come to my word. But then he also gathers us in under his cross, right? So Jesus will keep coming to you and keep calling you until they people and we choose to kill him, but he also gathers you even if you have killed him. This is the good news. Praise God. All right, so I may have shut up the prophet and killed him. I'm sorry, Lord. He forgives you. He says, even though you've killed the Son of God, I forgive you. I still gather you. I won't stop. This is the beauty. He gathers us to the cross. That on the cross, Jesus says, I'm taking the death, I'm taking the punishment for what all humanity has done to God. We've rejected him. We've murdered his Son. And I'll take the punishment. Come, be forgiven. But I've killed you. I've been a part of that stuff. I know, and I forgive you. That's good news. So he gathers us to his cross, because see, that's where the glory is. The glory is not in, like, we want to glorify God. It's not like, you do great things and you lead people to the Lord. And the glory is coming to the cross. That's where all the glory of God is. That there was a Son of God, a person and God, came to earth and died for us. He didn't deserve it. The only human to not deserve it. And he died for you. All the glory of God is there in the cross of Jesus. But all the comfort is to us. You're comforted by that. Gather to the cross. And then what they find out is you can't kill Jesus. We wanted to stop him. We wanted to stop the prophets. Jesus even tells a parable about the vineyard, where a guy has a vineyard, and he sends a servant and says, hey, give us all the harvest. And they killed him. They said, hey, the people who were working the vineyard said, maybe we'll just take over. And it keeps going until the guy who owns it sends his son, and they kill his son. That's the parable Jesus tells, because he says, that's what happens. But I gather you even though you've killed me. Repent. Repent is to say, oh, Jesus, help. Forgive me. And he does. He forgives you. And he gathers you to himself lovingly under the cross. But then he does something even better. He restores peace between you and God. He draws you out of isolation. The thing that we're always drawn to, I want to be left alone. I just want to do it myself. I'm good. Thanks. Don't need what you have. He draws us out of that, and he draws us into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a relationship in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even what we're going to do today in baptism, you're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're gathered to the community of God and his body, which is the church, the body of Christ, so that you are not alone anymore. And if you're not alone, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to try and prove yourself that you're good enough. You don't have to try to justify yourself. You're part of a group of people who are covered under the wings of Christ. He has brought you in. He has gathered you in. And if you simply can say, Lord, I need that, he's like, come on in. You started off telling me to get away. You're causing problems. But at the end, you move towards me and say, Lord, I want you. He says, come on in. And yet there are some who still will say, I don't want any part of it. And he says, well, you'll see me in all my glory one day. And surprisingly, people still won't want what Jesus has. It's hard for us to imagine. Because see, you're sitting here because you've been brought into communion. You've been brought into fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why you have faith. The Holy Spirit has used the Word of God to give you faith. I believe it. And as you declare, I believe it, he puts the righteousness of Christ on you. He brings you into fellowship with God. The one thing we need is peace with God. He provides it. He gathers you into that through baptism. And then the Lord's Supper. We'll do that today too, where you're cleaned up, you're washed up, and you're ready to come to the table and have table fellowship with the God of the universe. That's a gathering. Gathering the people together to be united. This is what Jesus is all about. He's about gathering you to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gathering you to his word, gathering you to his cross. We're not the ones. We're not the ones who separate. We're not saying, we're against this and that. We're saying, hey, Jesus, we believe he's the God of the universe, and he's gathering us toward him and to him. And then I just really like the idea that nothing's going to derail Jesus. You know, that's what I needed to hear today, is that all of our other relationships, myself included, let me just be real honest. I'll call you several times if I don't see you for a while, but there is a time where I stop calling. And I struggle with that. I feel bad. But you don't want me to call. Hey, come to church. Where are you? What's going on? Stop calling me. I get it. So I do. But if you've met Jesus at all, he won't stop calling you. He won't. He's more loving than me. And his whole thing is, I want to gather you in, and I'm going to pursue you, and nothing's going to derail me from pursuing you. Not even death. Because I love you. And the most important thing to God is to be with you. He's made it clear. He's given you his word. He's given you his son. He's invited you in. And I know many of you, I want to encourage you. You have fellowship with God. So rejoice in that and know that you're not alone. And know that he forgives you. Let me pray. Father, thanks for your word. We thank you that you always gather us into the peace of God that passes all understanding. I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us today, wherever we're at in our relationship with you, Father. If we're in a good place, in a bad place, I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply the word of God to our hearts. Grow our faith. Give us your peace and your joy. Mostly just start to show us, where are we headed? What are we doing? Because we believe you have the words of life. Where else would we go? Thank you for your word. And now bless us as we engage the sacraments that you set up for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord's countenance, may he smile and give you peace as he looks upon you now and forever as God's children. Amen.